Welcome to an all-new Off the Wall on YesNetwork.com. Chris Sheeran and Joe Auriemma give their opinions on the latest happenings surrounding Yankees baseball, as well as dive into the hottest topics in the sports world. And now, here are your hosts, Chris Sheeran and Joe Auriemma.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a playoff edition, that is baseball playoff edition, of the Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com. The usual suspects are here. Without Kaiser Sose, it's Joe Auriemma, it's Chris Sheeran, and it's Seth Everett joining us. Seth of Fox Sports Radio, CBS Radio, NBC Sports Network, and also the sports director of Spreecast. My brother, the only one I know that works for every major network in the business. Welcome, buddy.
How are you guys? I haven't talked to you since Joe, I believe, as a kid. Chris, you had the kid too, right?
Yeah, we both did.
Yeah, I haven't talked to you guys in a while, so this is better than my Facebook and Twitter. Congratulations.
Well, thank you very much. We both appreciate it. Let's get right to it here, Seth, because we have a lot to get to in setting up the baseball playoffs, which start tomorrow. We're taping this on Thursday before the wild card play-ins start tomorrow.
We're only taping this because if there was a play-in game, these two guys were not going to sleep.
Pretty much. You nailed that right on the head. But before we get to the Yankees, I know this is a Yankees centric podcast, but before we get there, I listened to you on Loose Cannons yesterday, and it was the tail end of the show, and there were a lot of happy Ace, well, two happy Ace fans with you in studio at the time.
Yeah, my producers, right.
Yeah. I just have to say it, I have to throw it out there. You couldn't pick the A's out of a hat to do did this year. 57-26, Seth, since July 1st, when they were 13 games behind the Rangers. And that same period of time, the Rangers went 33-40. I mean, did you ever think in your wildest dreams that the Rangers would not win the AL West?
Let me do you one step further. I made a joke. You must have not heard this joke, because I said it kind of beginning of the show. I said, I could spend the next hour reading the bios of all 25 guys on the A's roster, and you still wouldn't know who the A's are. Which reminded me of a great line Jose Vidro had when he was with the Expos.
Right.
We were trying to ask Jose Vidro. When I was working for the commissioner's office, I asked Jose, and I said, how bad is it in Montreal? Like, does anybody know who you guys are? He says, dude, I could walk down the streets of downtown Montreal with a sign that says, I'm Jose Vidro, all-star second baseman of the Montreal Expos, and they still wouldn't know who I am.
Well, what if he wrote it in French? He might have a shot.
The A's are a fascinating story, but I don't think they're as cute. And I don't think they'll be making Moneyball 2 Electric Boogaloo.
I was going to go Moneyball 2, The Search for More Money, like Spaceballs 2, but there you go.
Yeah, I always think Search for Spock, and that's Star Trek 3. But here's the issue. When the Moneyball era was going on, there were a handful of teams that were broke, and they all had a certain modicum of success. Minnesota, Florida, the A's, Montreal in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
You could count them. There was probably six teams that needed ballparks, and they were just bad. If you notice, and I don't want to count Tampa, because Tampa has 15 years left on a lease, so technically that's not a problem.
Right.
But the A's are the last team that's still living in the 2000s.
Yeah.
And I don't think I understand it's an amazing accomplishment. I'm not taking anything away from the players. But that franchise doesn't realize that Al Davis is not alive anymore. And that estate is not guaranteeing that they will extend their lease. Based on that fact, there's a chance that the A's are playing in a parking lot and are baseball's first stickball team by 2015.
That's unbelievable.
And I did a pregame show yesterday for Spreecast for the A's with a guy at the ballpark. And I said, are you hearing any rumblings about a stadium deal, whether it's in Fremont, San Jose, somewhere? And the answers are no.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's kind of obnoxious if you ask me.
It absolutely is. But you can't shake a stick at what they've been able to do this year. You know, Moneyball, it might have took a little time off, but Billy Bean proving that once again it works. You know, you listen to all the experts out there. It's basically a bunch of misfits, a bunch of guys who everyone else gave up on, and they come together as this quirky band of brothers, and on the last day of the season, I mean, can Major League Baseball could have asked for another last day of the season with all the drama that happened again this year that happened the same time last year. And Texas and Baltimore should be thanking their lucky stars for that second wild card as well, Seth.
Well, there's a couple of things that you bring up, because I want to address the second wild card. But you're right. Everybody said that last year couldn't be tough. And I'm not trying to say it was tough. But there's no reason why the last day of the regular season, now that it doesn't compete with the NFL, is not a great day for drama. There's always something that's up for grabs. And it was beautiful that at 3:30 on the East Coast, you had that A's-Rangers game. Now, I do want to slam my former employer. Could MLB.com make that the free game of the day? Please? I need to see the Marlins play the Mets again? That's ridiculous. But having said that, I want to give them all the credit in the world. But the Texas Rangers, again, with bad outfield defense. If you remember Tuesday night when that game was 1-1, the A's second run, which turned out to be the deciding run, came on a Nelson Cruz error.
Yes,
and then yesterday, I don't want to say that that was a sun ball for Josh Hamilton. I don't want to hear that nonsense about him playing in day games and night games. He nonchalanted that ball.
Yes, he did.
You teach that in Little League. Get in front of it. So even if he does go off your glove, it goes on your person. That's bad. And you saw Ron Washington chew out Josh Hamilton. And I'm always wondering about the psyche of Josh Hamilton. That was a Texas Rangers debacle.
That was a debacle. And one thing that the Texas Rangers have to be concerned about, Seth, is their pitching staff. They go out and they get Ryan Dempster at the trade deadline, and their big acquisition came up very small in a very big spot.
Well, he was the consolation prize. Remember, the Rangers hesitated on Greinke,
right,
and he went to the rival. And Dempster, who was a jerk in trying to get an extension from the Braves,
right,
kind of held the Braves hostage. And the Dodgers clearly weren't going to have any of that because they had bigger ideas. Ready to take on $250 million in salary. So Dempster was like Miss Congeniality. And the fact that he had to pitch that last game, see, that's the other beauty of the second wild card. If you notice, these teams have not been able to set their rotation. And I know we'll get to the Yankees later, but that's why I didn't understand why Sabathia was still in the game in the sixth inning of that 9-0 lead against Boston the other night.
Right.
Because these teams, you have to take the start of that play-in game very seriously. Because I will not say any team that plays in a wild card game should ever be considered a favorite to win the World Series.
Right. No, I agree with you. And baseball's done such a good job this year with the wild card. And you know what? Putting the premium back on winning the division. And,
right,
you know, you look at previous years where, you know, I was up in Fenway some years ago when the Yankees and the Red Sox basically had two playoff clinched, and the Yankees and the Red Sox were playing exhibition games because one wanted to win the wild card, the other one didn't care if they won the division or not. Now, that premium is there, Seth.
Well, I'll take that one step further. Last year on Labor Day, the Braves trailed the Phillies by 6 games.
Yes.
And they didn't care because they had a comfortable lead in the wild card. And in that scenario, there was no incentive to win the East because in the old system, there was no reward for winning the East. So the fact was that collapse does not happen because in this current scenario, the Atlanta Braves were trying to chase Washington. So understand, and this is why I want to take issue with celebrations, and I want to bring that up. But look to your point. The Braves have clinched nothing. And because of that, their failure was to not win the East to avoid what's going to happen to them on Friday. Because you have to understand, Friday is nothing more than a pick'em. That's a flip of the coin. Even Two-Face can flip that coin. And the fact of the matter is, I had to get a superhero reference in there. But the fact is that's why they couldn't do it. And for the record, I took issue, a serious issue, with what Oakland and Atlanta wound up doing with the celebrations for clinching a wild card. You should be ashamed of yourself. Not only is a wild card not a championship, but now it's not even a guarantee that you're in. So Oakland wound up having two champagne celebrations in one series.
Well, in all fairness, Seth, it has been 6 years since they made the playoffs.
Okay, the Baltimore Orioles hadn't played. That's fine. The Baltimore Orioles hadn't made the postseason since 1997. When they clinched the postseason, they did a wine toast in a hotel room.
Buck Showalter's their manager. There you go.
I understand that. And Bob Melvin's a good manager, and so is Freddie Gonzalez.
I'm not saying they aren't.
And if I hear one idiot in Atlanta call me up one more time and say, well, it was for Chipper, Do you think Chipper Jones, the World Series champion, cares whether you pop champagne to win the wild card?
The people of Atlanta should pipe down because they've been in the playoffs all these years, and you know, I'd like to see a sellout once in a while at Turner Field when there's a playoff game. We're talking to Seth Everett, Fox Sports Radio, CBS Sports Radio, NBC Sports Network,
C-Span. And
Sports Director at Spreecast.
Right, I work a lot. That's fine.
Hey, I'm giving you your props, but I just wanted reintroduce who we're talking to here. And I wanted to take the whole wild card scenario that Joe brought up one step further as well. And Jack Curry and I talked about this on the set of batting practice today, yesterday. And I asked Jack, Jack, and I want to ask you, I want to get your opinion as well, because I value it like no other. And no, I'm being completely serious. They do put a premium on winning the division now, but it's just for this year and this year only. But it has me like Quint with fingernails on a chalkboard in the back of the town hall room in Jaws that the Yankees had to fight tooth and nail, and I don't want to sound like I'm whining.
And they won the division.
And they're going to open up in Arlington or Baltimore for two games, and it's all to get that travel day for the game five out of there? I mean, that's a little ridiculous.
All right. Well, there's two things, and you guys know me, so I hope your audience understands this. I'm not trying to be self-serving in any way when I say this, but I did pitch the second wild card to the commissioner's office 2 years ago. And I love how suddenly now they're listening to this. So the fact of the matter is that what they decided, Fox commanded a World Series date. Fox told, this is the inside stuff that I know, Fox told baseball when they had to have the World Series because they build their television schedule, you know, with their premieres and American Idol and all that other nonsense around the World Series date. Once they had those dates, they have to work backwards. And they wanted the season to end on that Wednesday.
Right.
They could do the one game. Because remember, at the time, they were considering doing a best of three, which would have been a train wreck, because then the division winners would have had a full week off.
Right.
But in this circumstance, they wanted to have it where they didn't have a day off between games four and five, to which my counter to that is, I don't understand why you can't play game four in one city and then game four the next day in a different city. When have you not seen the Yankees wrap up a homestand and then play the next night in Seattle?
Absolutely. Absolutely, Seth.
And the excuse that they gave was they said, and this was told to me by an MLB executive, I'm not obviously giving out his name, but he said, what if the San Francisco Giants play the Marlins? I said, yes, so? I said, what are they, flying on Continental? Like, what are we talking about here? And I don't, and I think what it is it's a great disadvantage, because to think about it from the standpoint of the Detroit Tigers, the Tigers, who are the lesser team, because don't forget, the loser of the Central wasn't even a consistent contender for the wild card, either wild card.
Right.
And here you have the Tigers, who are going to take on the Oakland A's, and what's the reward for winning the division? They face Verlander at Comerica?
Yeah.
That's kind of ridiculous.
It is very ridiculous. Seth, I've always been of the opinion that you should even make the wild card winner have to work even harder. I've always said that the wild card, even once you get through the game, they should have four road games. I think it should be 2-1-2.
No, I disagree with that because the incentive is, don't forget, this is a business.
Yes.
And the team should want
to
win the
wild
card.
There has to be the gate, yes.
Right, they get the gate. Now, I want to give you a statistic that'll show you just how cockamamie this whole thing is.
Okay.
Game five of the ALDS is at Yankee Stadium on Friday, October 12th.
Right.
Game one of the ALCS is Saturday, October 13th, my mother's birthday. Oh. And on top of that, the Oakland A's might have home field.
Right.
Because they would if the Oakland A's win,
right,
they would have home field if the Yankees lose.
Right.
The Yankees could lose to Baltimore or Texas.
Right, absolutely.
You're Oakland. On that Friday night, you won. You do not know what coast you can go on, and you have a game the next day.
It's Seth, you're absolutely right. Everything you're saying, It is cockamamie, as you said. A perfect word for it.
Podcast, right? Cockamamie.
Cockamamie is totally fine. This is a cable podcast, by the way.
An award-winning
cable podcast. Seth.
Yes, I remember that.
We have a couple minutes left here with you, and just going to the Yankees now. You know, they lose the 10-game lead, never lose the lead in the division. Everything seems to be coming together for them. Right now, their ace is back to pitching like an ace, and Robinson Cano is in another, you know, atmosphere right now, the way he's hitting the ball. So what can you say about the New York Yankees, and what do you think their chances are to you know, win a title here?
Well, the Yankees are playing very well in the last, I think it's 14 games. And I'm not going to take any of that success away from them, nor do I think that this team suddenly is going to be an offense that generates runs without waiting for a home run. Because that's plagued that offense this entire season.
It hasn't gone away. You're right, it hasn't gone away.
Right, and now you're going to go into a situation where they start the first two games on the road. That's probably a split. And then you're going to ask the New York Yankees to win 2 out of 3 in Yankee Stadium. That sounds like something they can do. But as we've seen in the past, the best team doesn't win in the playoffs. And I have this phrase that I usually start
especially in those
about.
5-game series, by the way.
Right, but I say this after Labor Day. At this point in the season, you don't have to be good. You just have to win.
Right.
And the argument for me is whether or not, first of all, you're going up against these young pitchers for Baltimore. If it's Baltimore, and I can't predict. And it was really funny because somebody had said to me 2 days ago, who do you really think is the favorite in the American League? And I said, Detroit. And they said, well, why? I said, well, because they're the only team of the 5 potential playoff teams that might not have a play-in game. And I don't know who's going to win that play-in game. So I don't know what it would be like for the Yankees to go back to Texas, a place where they have failed before. And then with Baltimore, you're kind of playing with house money. So I understand why Yankee fans would be confident, but I do not want to overlook any of it and understand that the playoffs are, at this point in the time, a crapshoot.
Well, Seth, in your expert opinion, who do the Yankees match up better with in that first round in a short series, the Rangers or the Orioles? Or is it a toss-up?
No, you would have to say they'd match up better against Baltimore.
Okay.
Because if you make mistakes, and I can see this because you could see Perota, you could see Hughes, you probably wouldn't see Andy, but I wouldn't be shocked. You'd see these guys come out. Sabathia is an ace. We know who Sabathia is.
Right.
But you can see these guys. If they suddenly get the ball up, between Kinsler and Napoli and Josh and Nelson Cruz, you'll be down 9-0. The Orioles don't do that to you. The Orioles nickel and dime you. And so the difference there is that you can make mistakes early in ballgames. The playoffs, to me, are separated into thirds. It survives the first third, thrives in the second third, and win in the last third. And that's how you play a playoff game. And what, to me, it looks like is you can make a mistake in the first 6 innings and still be in a position to win. Whereas Texas, you give them an inch, they'll take a mile.
All right, Seth Everett, Fox Sports Radio, sports director at Spreecast, NBC Sports Network, also CBS Radio. Just one really quick one, then we'll let you go. World Series pick right now, who do you take?
Oh, I thought you were going to ask me about the hockey lockout. Okay.
That's next. We'll bring you back for that next.
Yeah. Oh, well. World Series. I'm going to say Cincinnati. And the only reason why I'm going to say Cincinnati is, and it's by a hair, I just think that they have the great chance of exploding on offense, where I don't see that for the Giants or the Nationals, for that matter.
Okay.
Understand one point for your listeners. At some point during the National League playoffs, probably game 4 of either the DS or the CS, Ross Detweiler starts. That's the Strasburg game.
Okay.
So when you don't say that the Nationals can't win, but that's the game that Strasburg would have pitched if they had handled that correctly. So that's the one where it'll come back and haunt you. So I'm going to say Cincinnati. I love the ball club. I'm a huge Dusty Baker guy. You know, in Dusty, we trusty. And Brian Price, who I knew when I was with Seattle, he really runs the pitching. Dusty does not allow to touch the pitchers. So I have a feeling I like Cincinnati, but it's only by a hair. In the American League, I still think this is too much of a crapshoot because I would say New York is the favorite, but I could give you 10 reasons why they wouldn't win.
Okay.
And Oakland and Baltimore being those two wild cards. I don't think someone with the analysis, because we're doing this on analysis, you cannot look at an Oakland team and explain why they do what they do. You can't look at Baltimore and explain why they do what they do, but yet I would take them as seriously as anybody else. I don't think Texas can win, and I do think Detroit can win.
Okay. Seth, thank you very much for your time. We appreciate it. We will have you back on for more baseball, and we'll talk about the hockey lockout as well, because from a very reliable source, I heard we shouldn't expect games before December 15th.
No, but I have that. There's no problem with that, because I am a hockey lover. I don't remember the last time I saw an October game.
Exactly. That's exactly what he said the league is thinking.
Right. The owners know that. The owners know exactly how much they can mortgage and how much they can lose. The only thing it does, since this is on the YesNetwork.com, it hurts the Islanders in their ability to showcase the Barclays Center, and it hurts the Devils in their attempt to get an investor. So locally, it hurts those two franchises. But everybody else, I don't think we'll miss it.
All right, buddy. We will get you down the line soon. We appreciate your time. And this is why we bring him on, for his expert analysis. Seth, we appreciate it. If you want to check Seth out, check him out on Fox Sports Radio, NBC Sports Network, and also on Spreecast. Thanks a lot, buddy. We appreciate it.
Believe it. You guys will be on Spreecast soon. There, I said it on tape.
We can't wait. Thanks, brother.
The Off the Wall podcast comes to you each week on iTunes and YesNetwork.com. If you like what you're listening to, simply subscribe to the show on iTunes. And if you have an extra minute, leave a comment and rating.